This morning, Father, as Lawrence shares with us what's on his heart that you've placed on his heart, may we be receptive and open to that message. May our hearts be opened by the Spirit this morning, Lord, and we hear the message for us. And may we be a family of love through greater understanding this morning. We just pray for Lawrence. Be with him and strengthen him this morning. Amen.
Amen. Ka pai.
The tangatanga te kupu, a e te atua te kupu, ko te atua no hoki tāua kupu. Haere mai, haere mai, haere mai, ko a Lawrence Jensen tōku ingoa, ko a Karen Jensen tōku whaia, ko hoia. Haere mai. E te kōrero Pākehā. Kia ora, Lawrence. On behalf of the City Bible Church, well, thank you. I had to do it in a Māori way because he's a representative to our Māori tanga. I welcome you, brother, here today on behalf of everybody here, just to bring us a little bit about the Māori. So I've known Lawrence Jensen for way back then we sort of come around and meet up again in the old days. But I've learnt a lot about him, even in younger days when he was dealing with youth. But he's gone on further and done dealing with youth in prison and helping the young class to find a way in life there outside of the old habits. So anyway, he's going to give us a little bit of a talk on Māoridom and Māoridom as Christians, how does the Māori fit in the Christian world, and how the Christian world fit in with Māori. Kia ora koutou.
Ah, tēnā koe. Oh yeah, that'll be good. Thank you, Dave. Tēnei te bia te kā koe te rangatira e a Frankie. Ngā mia ki a koe, ngā puhi hā, tēnei te mia te ki a koe. E tōku nēni, Tainga Nguru, Tipene Harris, ki te manga moka, ki tō Hokianga. Ko Ngāti, up north. I had a bit of a block there. Ngā puhi. That's right. Me te Ngāti Parau. Tuhia ki te rangi, tuhia ki te whenua, tuhia ki te ngākau i roto, i te ngākau. Ko te aroha, ko te aroha, ko te aroha. Greetings everybody. Heo nōre krōri ki te ātua, he maungono ki te whenua, whakahonere tia te kengi, tuhai tia potatau te whero, tua whitu. Ka mate haere, haere, haere atu rā, te hunga ora, tēnei te mea tia koutou. Greetings to everybody. This morning we're going to be looking at One Faith, Two Peoples, communicating across cultures within the church. And Frankie, thank you so much for that mihi-mihi. In terms of Māori, mihi-mihi, karakia, waiata are just part and parcel of who we are. And thank you so much. Ngā mihi ki a koe. The topic really was around, I had quite a bit of an interesting time trying to look at the title, because it was helping us to love Māori brothers and sisters. I talked to a number of kaumātu about that, and they thought it was paternalistic in one sense, and it didn't go down too well. And so I thought I'd just bring that to you. And because it was really about helping Māori brothers and sisters, or helping us to love Māori brothers and sisters. And it was sort of in line with, I have a lot of gay people that are good friends. And sometimes when we're talking about gay people, sometimes people will drop something in like, I know a lesbian. Oh, good. Yeah, okay. And it's a bit like, well, I know a Māori person. Oh, do you? Wow, awesome. So I'll just share that. So, well, good. If you know a Māori person, well, they're awesome. Like, I know some Colombians and people from Chile and the people from all over the place. So, but I do know them. I tend to know them well, so that's really what we're talking about. But I just want to bring you One Faith, Two Peoples. And it was written, it was a book written in the 90s by Lloyd Martin and his wife Anthea. And they lived in Porirua. And as they described it, they were the one Palangi family in all of Cannons Creek. Palangi is non-European, European, sorry. And so they went through a whole range of things. There was Te Hau Ora, or Te Ora Hau, which was a youth group. And there was also Sam Chapman and Thelma Chapman. And they put together a whole lot of material called Te Puta Puta Pai. Puta Puta is around good seed. And so they put this together. And so what you've got here is someone's journey in Cannons Creek. And of course, it's highly high population of Māori and Pacifica people who live there. And they were trying to reach out to the community. And so what they did was they thought they would live there. So in their school, their primary school, their four children made up about a very small percentage of white folks. And but they're that type of people. And the credibility that they have, I was at a police college a number of years ago and we had them speak. And a lot of hard-nosed police officers, you know, if you ever work with the police or in the police, you'll know what I'm talking about. Faith is not something that they, you know, they know. Get on with it. That's what they are. Get on with it. No fluffy stuff. But I noticed they really respected Lloyd because of who he was. And he had his faith, and yet he was so part of the community and that the police really enjoyed listening to him, and he was their guest speaker for numerous conferences. And in the book, it talks about a story about a Māori couple that come to know Jesus, actually in a freezing works, could be Frankie. And what happened within that freezing works, and so he had come to know the Lord, and then what happened was, because he was always going to the marae and his language, one of the big things was he was told by his elders that no more of that, that it was evil, they were all the Māori gods, so don't go and talk that language and don't go to the marae because it'll take you away from your faith. And so the whole book interacts with this person's life. And I thought this was a thing of the 90s. And then I bumped into a kaumātua, a Christian kaumātua, at the beginning of the year, and he was telling me that he was going to a church and he was told the same thing. Don't go to the marae because it'll take you away from your faith in Jesus. And so the marae, Māori language, such a big part of this kaumātua, and we were just talking about it and how it just didn't sit well with us. And so the book goes into the whole thing around what Māori have to do. And you notice it's one faith in two peoples. You could actually put the book of Galatians. You remember the book of Galatians, and in terms of Paul the Apostle, he continually had to remind the Jewish Christians that, hey, you don't have to cut the foreskin off, and you don't have to force people, force feed the Pentateuch or the five books, and particularly of the Old Testament. You don't have to do that. It's by faith in Christ. And that was a battle. He had to battle all his life with the church. And in the book of Acts, you'll see it time and time again, where the Jews always put constraints on the Gentiles. And as Gentiles, we're grafted in to the tree of life through the blood of Jesus. And Paul starts that epic book of Galatians by saying, who has bewitched you? Who has bewitched you, O people? You started in faith, and now you have come back as a slave to law. And then right at the end, he says, what really matters is faith in Christ and the reality of who he is in your life. Then it talks about walking by faith, standing in faith, and then it goes on, the book of Galatians. And it's a real journey. And so it's about one faith, two peoples. I was thinking, I was just saying to Frankie the other day, am I a Christian Māori or am I a Māori Christian? What do you think? Any takers on that? Am I a Christian Māori or am I a Māori Christian? There's a subtle difference. I'll tell you. If I was a Christian Māori, I have to be a European and I have to be a Pākehā. Now, I'm a bicultural person, and I've been through learning institutions and, you know, sat under great teachers, and you get your degrees, and through the police, and I've worked through Waranga Tamariki, who are under the gun at the moment, and, of course, a whole range of things. So I can cut it in a non-Māori world. And but if I'm a Māori Christian, it comes with certain aspects to my life. The reo was important. Going to the marae is absolutely critical for who I am. And to be told that if I was like those two people I mentioned, told by elders, oh, I couldn't go to the marae, I would have to say, sorry, I cannot agree with that. So a Māori Christian has a range of aspects to their lives. There are values around tikanga, doing what is right, and living a worldview that is Māori. So hence this one here, communicating across cultures within the church. Maestro. Now this one here is my moko, our first mokopuna. It's Sadie. And when she was born, I gave her her first hongi. Now this is absolutely critical because I'm passing breath, my breath to her and her breath to me. And I'm sniffing her in because I just can't get enough of her. And she is so gorgeous. And for those grandparents, you'll know what I mean. And the thing is, you don't want your children, you want your grandchildren. Just drop them off. just drop the muckles off and you fellas can go. But of course, you have to be more subtle. Yeah, as Karen tells me, you can't do that. You can't say that. Oh, okay, right. And that's really about one people, one faith in two peoples. There is one faith in Christ, and yet we have multiple peoples. And if you've ever had an opportunity to talk with our Spanish speakers or those people from Colombia or Chile or Guatemala or Mexico, we even got a few Spanish from Barcelona, or Barcelona, como se dicen los españoles, Barcelona, and you've got all these other ones, and they speak Spanish. And if you've ever sat and spoken with them, and I know it's a bit difficult if you can't speak Spanish, but they speak beautiful English as well, and you just got to get to know them. And it's the same with Māori, you just got to get to know them. And this is about intimacy and getting to know people, and we call it a hongi or whakawhanaungatanga process. A whakawhanaungatanga is around strengthening relationships. And it's around breathing breath and vitality into others. And it's around family and friends. Yep, next. Around about 1814, there was a man called Samuel Marsden. Now, Samuel Marsden came to New Zealand. Actually, he had come to New Zealand various times. And around December 1814, up in the far north where Frankie's from, he preached a message. And the message he preached, this was his text. Now, if you have a look at the top, to oho wairua is the quickening of one's spirit. And to oho is to awaken. And there was a movie called The Quickening. And it was someone who actually would chop heads off and then he would take on their spirit and then he would, but the whole idea around the quickening, it was the awakening. So I don't, you know, they say, I don't tell you they're going to cut people's heads off. But it's certainly around the oho wairua, allow the spirit of God to quicken you. And so the scripture that he used was this one. Kia whai kororia te ātua I runga rawa, kia mau te rongo, ki runga ki te whenua, me te whakaaro pai ki ngā tangata. Now there's a mistake here. The word whakaara, actually, it should be whakaaro, not whakaara, which you already knew that and you were just being gracious. Yeah. glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom he is pleased. And in the context of that is the Christmas story about how Christ came on this earth and how the Spirit of God appeared to the shepherds. And we have this story. Now you can actually see that the song that we use is very similar. Te atua I runga, you know, to the heavens and to the earth. And that's actually a whakatauki that we use on our marais all the time. And that's an awakening time. But this is what it was. Te rungo pai ki te ritenga aruka, to the Gospel of Luke. The interesting thing you may not know about Samuel Marsden is about the 1800s, he came across a man called, in 1804, called Ruatara, which is one of Frankie's tipuna, his ancestors. Now he came to know the Lord in around about 1800s. And so he was over in Parramatta, as they say, in Sydney, New South Wales, and he came to know the Lord, and what he wanted to do was take the good news back to his people. Now his wife, Elizabeth, I think was the main person behind it all, is that he had been mistreated upon the frigates that were travelling from New Zealand, Aotearoa, to Australia, and he was nearly left for dead. So she nursed him to good health, Elizabeth Marsden. She was an amazing woman, I think more amazing than Samuel Marsden. So get to know her. It was incredible. So they taught him the scriptures. They taught him what it is to be a Christian. And then they taught him animal husbandry. And about this time, they taught him about cows and about chickens, and they brought them back to the far north. And so we were as Māori in those days, were the entrepreneurs. And in actual fact, the Pākehā community depended on us to keep them afloat. And the population was around about 80,000 as opposed to 2,000 or less of Pākehā. Now there's a myth going around that Pākehā means white pig. It doesn't, right? If anyone tells you that, they're absolutely barking up the wrong tree. It's incorrect grammatically, and it's not right. Pākehākehā means the white-skinned ones, the fair-skinned. If you can imagine in those days, Māori, you know, were darker than I am, because I have English blood coming through. And so we were called Māori. Actually, it was the Pākehā people that called us Māori. We were known by I'm Ngāti Porau, or Tūhoi, or from here, Te Arawa, Te Arawa and Rotorua, here, Waikato Tainui. So you were named after your tipuna. Māori simply means common. If you have Wai Māori, it means ordinary water that's pure. And so Pākehā or Pākehākehā just means fair-skinned, okay? And if you can imagine the ships when they came through to Gisborne, where I'm from, back in when they first saw Cook in the late 1700s, and they saw the white sails, and this is what they're talking about. Who are these fair people? And there were dreams and visions about these things that they had. And so they knew that there were people coming. So Frankie's tipuna, Ruatara, he came to know the Lord, and he came back with Samuel Marsden around about 1814, and he translated the first gospel message into Māori for his people. He was working with Samuel Marsden. The next slide, please. This one here is a well-known karakia timata, or the beginning. And we usually see this as a karakia and as a waiata. And within the Māori circles, I was just at a hui just the other day, and some people wouldn't sing it, because it's really a Christian philosophy and a Christian worldview behind it. And so there are Māori people who wouldn't use it because they won't sing a hymn because it's about Christianity and colonization. And so in the 1860s, when the land wars came into being by General Grey, well, actually Governor Grey at the time, and if you're of Grey's descent, well, you're of Grey's descent. I read portions of books by him. I have yet to complete his autobiography or his biographies because I find them very difficult to read because he is responsible for a whole lot of my people being killed. And he preempted war that never had to be. But that was the nature of the man. But not only of him, it was also of England at the time and of Europe. They were colonizing. You had the Portuguese that were colonizing Africa and India. And of course, you had the Dutch doing the same thing. You had the French doing the same thing. You had the Spanish doing the same thing. Everybody was doing the same thing. And if you ever seen that movie, The Mission, Karen and I watched it first in Spain in 87, called La Mission. And that's basically around the 12th century. And you have a look at slavery there, where they enslaved the Latino American people, and they were deemed unhuman. But God didn't create them. They created them like beasts. So you can manipulate them, hurt them, kill them. And that's what happened. And colonization in terms of Spain. So this was going on. England, as I said. And there were continual wars between the European nations. I've often said that the Europeans are the most bloodthirsty people on the face of the earth. Sometimes it hasn't gone down too well. But my grandmother's English. She was a nurse in the First World War and nursed my grandfather, Hori Whakataka. And then they came back to Tokomaru Bay in the 20s, 1920s. And so she had 10 children. One was my mother. And she was an amazing lady. And if you've ever had the blessing to see Peter, what's his name, the artist or the filmmaker, and the Jackson, and down at Te Papa, there was that one on, and wax, the wax figures around the wall, and you see a big one there of a nurse. Well, that would have been my nanny. And of course, she's trying to find a loved one in the war. And so this is the whole thing. He ho nōre korori ki te ātua, mangorongo ki te whenua, whakaro pai ki ngā tangata katoa. Hangai te ātua he ngā kauhau ki roto ko tēnā ko tēnō mātou. Whakatongia tō wairua tāpu hei a whina hei toho tūi a mātou. Hei ako hoki ngā kaupapa mō te rā, rānei. Āmine. The mangorongo ki te whenua is a process around making peace. And so the whole karakia is about making peace. And when we say these sorts of karakias, it's about bringing peace into the environment, into the place. Just like Frankie and his whakatau, he is bringing mangorongo, whakaro pai, into the space. Okay? Next slide. I want us to just look at some of the Māori demographics. The definition of Māori has changed over time. One of our daughters, one day when she was younger, she's 24 now, and she was going to primary school, she came back all distraught and crying. And she said, "Oh, Daddy, they tell me that I'm 1/18th Māori." I said, "Oh, okay. 1/18th, how did they get to that?" "Oh, well, they said that your grandfather would have been Māori, your father, your grandfather was quarter, so you must be whatever that is, and then so you can't be a Māori, you must be 1/18th. She was very distraught. Here's the news. Māori is about whakapapa. That's why you have a look at a lot of the Māori All Blacks and you're trying to figure out where their fink come from, the prop for the All Blacks, and he looks so white. Well, that's where he came from, because he has whakapapa. And whakapapa is genealogy. Jensen came from the Danes. And Lawrence came from Lawrence of Olivier. And then Sonny, I'd like to say, came from Sonny Bill. But Sonny was well before Sonny Bill Williams. And may he last the distance in the World Cup, not get hurt. Rather controversial quote, isn't it? So the definition of Māori has changed over time. Now, my father, Tātainga o te rangi, 16 letters, and it means the tides of the heavens into the sky, into the Milky Way. Beautiful. And it's a Ngāti Porou name. And he didn't want to give me a tipuna name, because at that time, you remember, you were punished for speaking Māori. And so he went through that, and he thought that there'd be no future if you learnt Māori. And so he wanted me to learn Pākehā and become a Pākehā. But the problem was, I wasn't a Pākehā. I was a Māori. And I wasn't at home in my Māori skin or in the Pākehā skin. And that's what happened. So the current population, now this is around 734,000, and it's growing. And of course, we're largely urban. Now, my father came from Hicks Bay, Te Wharekahika. And at that time, that's where 80% or more of Māori were in. And by the 50s, we started to migrate after the Second World War and to go into the cities. Why was that? Why would we leave famous places like Hicks Bay? Jobs. Exactly. We left those spaces to come into work. My father tells the story when he got to Atiamuri and they were part of the dams, and he saw tarsil on the roads, you know, around the dam areas, and he thought he couldn't believe it, wow. You know, and he's trying to, wow. And then he saw a light in the house, and it was one of those string lights, you know, where you turn on and off with the string, and he couldn't understand why it would turn on and off, and so he undid the bulb to have a look, and he was electrified using Greece terminology. And he got a buzz that day. But that's what happens when a hillbilly comes into the city. And largely urban. Now, 1 in 4 live in the greater Auckland area, and Tamaki Makaurau. And the median age is around 22 years of age, nearly 23 years of age. And that was by 2006. And the population, well, the age will increase over 65. So we've got more and more Māori staying alive, as the Bee Gees used to sing, staying alive. However, when you get your pension, Māori are less likely to get your pension, to get the pension, because they die earlier than non-Māori. And of course, Māori population will comprise about 22% of total New Zealand population by 2051. Now, if you know Professor Sir Mason Jury, he's done some tremendous work around this area. So that's around 2050. The ethnic diversity will be more evident, and that's what we're finding, isn't it? At Fairfield Primary School, this was a number of years ago when I was working there, we had 22. These are people groups that spoke different languages. So these are language-speaking groups, 22 different people language groups. And it's increasing more and more and more. And that's the way it is. Now, 67,000 fit here in the Waka o Tainui, registered numbers, members. So what happens here, because of the settlements, because of the land confiscations, and because of the wars in 1860, the Crown was needed to honour... What is the time? Sorry? I haven't got the time. Well, let me know when I have to... Down. Oh, is it? Far out. Okay, I've got to go. So the ethnic diversity. And so what happens is that Waka o Tainui have membership. And so each person can go on this register, and so they have people helping them with driver's licenses. There's social housing. There's health facilities. There's educational grants that are pertaining to Waka o Tainui people. And there are 68 marae in the Waikato area where we are here. Now have a look at this, 70% are under 35. We have an enormous youth population. It's like Pacifica. Pacifica and Māori have a huge youth population. I put this question here at the bottom. Is church relevant for Māori in the 21st century? I'd have to say no. It's not relevant. If you have a look at, I mean, In the book he quotes, this is 1990, 2% of New Zealand Christians would be Māori at that stage in 1990. I would say that would be very similar. It might be one point something. But what we do have in our marais is that there are so many Christian people who love the Lord that are on our marais serving our people. And you won't see them or hear from them in an environment like this. But there are many of us serving our King and serving our people on our marais. And it's a wonderful space to be in. It can be a very terrible space to be in, because sometimes you do get, as a Māori Christian, you do get attacked and they go, oh, you're being colonized. Oh, okay, right. But is church relevant for Māori in the 21st century? And think about that. Craig, think about that. I know the work that you've been doing in the Bible schools, and we've been working together. It is one of those moments. The last bastion point for Māori is our marae. And we go back. When we go to our marae, they're our marae. They're our people. And so if you're a Christian, when you go to your marae and you're just part of the fabric, and you're part of the tea towel brigade and cleaning the toilet brigade, I was at my, down in Hicks Bay at my uncle's tangi funeral. He was 80. And I went to the loo. And I went to the loo, and of course, someone had messed, you know, number twos all over the place. And I said this out loud. I said, man, why don't they clean it up? And then suddenly the voice came back to me saying, well, actually, they are you, because this is your whare, this is your marae, and then anything in the bowl is yours. So clean it up. Oh, okay, right, yeah. And that's what it is when I go back to Hicks Bay. I'm just part of cleaning up the toilet, yeah, because that's who I am. And if you don't pass that test, you don't ever go anywhere. The toilet test. Next. So here's a model for bicultural relationships. And of course, bicultural simply means the two people. And that comes back to the Treaty of Waitangi. And so it was Māori and the Crown. And so that's really what it means, a bicultural relationship, a bicultural partnership. The cultural aspects around the language, around what we eat, you know, around what we say, is all part of this. How we bury our dead, how we practice marriage, how we do these things. The first one is around that whakapiri. Now, whakapiri is to make contact with people or engagement. Just the caution around that engagement word. The engagement word is really a military term. When you engage the enemy and you go to shoot them, you go to kill them. But the initial contact, to build rapport and trust, like Samuel Marsden did through Ruatara. That's what we're talking about. Successful or unsuccessful? And that's really the question in terms of strengthening relationships between Māori and non-Māori. Is it successful or is it unsuccessful? How well do we make contact with people? And that whakapiri, or whakapiri piri, is coming together like we do today. How do we do this? The next one is whakamārama. Now, whakamārama is that enlightened stage, or enlightenment. Switching on the light. That awareness, that understanding, that maturity, spiritually. The multi-sensory perceptions. So it's about, on all levels. Whakarongo means to listen. Rongo is a holistic term, which means spiritually, physically, mentally. You feel the intuitive nature, or whakarongo. That's what it means. This doesn't mean to listen with your ear. There's a lot more to it. We have a prison unit down in Waikerea called Te Whare or Whakamārama, and it's really the House of Enlightenment. And when our men go in there, what we're wanting them to do is to be enlightened about their lifestyle. We want them to understand that they're more than criminals, that they too can change. And that's what it's called. That last point there about empowerment, how do we empower people, that term whakamana, the self-control, how do we help people in that prison space to take control of their emotions? Finding human dignity, integrity, self-worth. Those are some of the aspects around that empowerment. How do we help? One of the interesting things around self-worth is that when I worked many years as a social worker in the community around food parcels, and we always tended to give food parcels to Māori people, Māori poor. And what happened is, over the years, churches, we tend to work with Māori poor, and we miss the middle-class Māori. You know, we've got more PhDs than ever before, more entrepreneur business. Waikato Tāne are worth about 1.8 billion. Kaitahu is about 2 billion. Assets are just incredible. And as we all know about thinking, people who think and people who can change the course of a country, we've got a whole range of levels. So my challenge to you is, it's so easy to work in Enderley. It's so easy to work in Poets' Corner. It's so easy to work with poor Māori, or in the, you know, as missiologists talk about rice Christians. People come to faith over a bowl of rice. And we need to be very aware in terms of destroying the self-worth of people by giving them things and not helping them and strengthening their relationships. So that's just a little model that we could go into a bit later. The next one, and this really brings it down to a close. Ko te amorangi ki mua, ko te hapai o ki muri. And I've translated it this way. When a leader has meaningful character, purpose, vision, and spiritual power, then others will follow with careful abandonment. Now, this is based on Captain Wee Te Tau Huata in the Second World War. 28th Battalion, he was in C Company, and he worked with one of my tipuna called Colonel Awatere. And incredible. He tells a story when he came in as a chaplain in the Second World War, and he was meeting other chaplains. And he was saying, oh, well, what I do is I have a prayer in the trenches, and then I get up and I go over the trenches with the boys. And of course, Colonel Awatere is right beside me. And the other chaplains laughed, and they said, oh, no, he's going to get you killed. He said, no, that's what we all do, don't we? And the chaplain said, no, we don't. We stay in the trenches. What you're doing is you're going over the trenches with the men. And Awatere and Colonel Awatere, his faith was this: you are God's man. He was the one in 1958, when Billy Graham came over, and Billy Graham wanted a Māori song. And so Whakaria Mai was the song. And it was Captain Wee Te Tau Huata that composed Whakaria Mai. And for 1958 crusade for Billy Graham. But he tells these stories about the priest. You see, ko te amorangi ki mua is the priest that goes before people, the person that prays before people. And she goes in front. And the hapai o ki muri are those ones at the back. If you have the spiritual procession going right, your prayers before the Lord, things will follow. But Captain Wee Te Tau Huata was a real character. And he wrote over 1,000 songs. And that's why he was a leader. People followed him because of his character. He had purpose. He had vision. He came out with a moral rearmament after the Second World War in Casino. And we've been to Casino, Mount Casino, where the Germans were fighting. And of course, they had 20,000 casualties, and we had 80,000 casualties. And when you get to the train station, there are some monuments, particularly the Māori Battalion. And you'll see the Polar Cemetery. It's just what a total waste of life, and you'll see it there. And in the Commonwealth Cemeteries. And there was purpose, there was vision. He had spiritual power. He would always talk about the Lord. He's a great role model. I love this man. I'm looking forward to when I get to glory to sit down with him over a hangi and say, wow, I love those stories that I read about and heard from my uncle. My uncle drove for Colonel Awatere in the Second World War. And we'll follow with careful abandonment. And so when he was praying in the trenches and he got out of the trenches with the soldiers, that's what I meant by careful abandonment. He was careful in that his faith had to be real, and that was that careful intentionality around it, to get out of the trenches and go over the top with the men. And Lord, if I die, I die. And if I live, I live. And that's their ka mate, ka ora, about the haka.
If I live, I live. If I die, I die. But if I die, I know I'm doing your will. And that's the type of person he was. And so, and I think that's the end of the slides. Yeah. And just to tie it all up, what I really wanted to do was just do some preparatorial work with you all around one faith, two peoples, and how by using some of these methods, some of these approaches, that we can strengthen our relationships. So, and above all, it's about relationships. It's about how do we make a relationship that lasts with Māori. It's not easy. In fact, Tom, question? Yep, can we go back to that slide, the second slide? I think that's a good question. Francis, what do you think? Why is it irrelevant? Why is the church irrelevant? That's a question I'm asking. You know, I can be challenged on that, but that's what I'm saying. Is the church relevant for the 20th century? And Tom was saying, why is the church non-relevant or irrelevant?
For the multiplication of humanity, we seek in a higher level of leadership and love. That's why we have to do it.
It's a good question, Tom. Oh, I'll come back to you. Thanks, Darwin.
I have a different meaning on that because of the fact that God is saying for you mean by church. When Jesus talks about the church,
yes. I think too the one faith in Christ and the two peoples. What we're talking about here is that bicultural relationship between Māori and non-Māori, or in Pākehā in this sense, and it goes back to the Treaty of Waitangi. If you ever have a look at the Treaty of Waitangi, another name for it is the Covenant, the Kawenata Hō, which is the New Testament. So the Treaty of Waitangi was crafted from missionaries in the day. Henry Williams, William Williams, around 1840. They were Christian men and their wives that actually put these words together and created the Treaty of Waitangi. The church has been right at the cutting edge. Then what happened in around about, at that stage, there were more Māori in the country at that time. And then by 1840, by 1850, we were the minority. And then what happened, there was the power place. So the most powerful positions in the past, we're Māori, but we're not now. But what we're doing today is that there are more doctors, more CEOs. But when you have a look at the power base, in terms of relationships. If you just have a look, how many Māori elders are there? Or if you have a look at how many Māori pastors, or how many conferences have Māori speakers and Christian conferences? How many books are written by Māori? Christian books. And you can see the imbalance. So the treaty actually, the three articles that it has in there, the last one, article the third, includes me as an Englishman. Because I'm English, I'm an Englishman. You wouldn't think it, but I am, because my grandmother. And it says in there that I have equal citizen British citizenship, that I'm equal to a Britishman. And if you read your history, it never was the case. We came back from the war and to these ballot farms, and we were balloted 90% rock. And so for God, for King, and for country, if you go to the East Coast where I'm from, and you have all the honour boards to the men that gave their lives, 3,700 in Māori communities, that is huge. My uncles, of a small minority of people. So coming back to Tom, to your question about the relevancy, we're talking about a treaty relationship. And a lot of Māori people that I know, my close friends, they would say the church would be irrelevant. But they would say, oh, I don't mind listening to you, because you've been with us through the hard yards. We know who you are, and it's real. Any other questions before we wind up? No? Kapai. Oh, let's pray. Oh. Ao, tēnē te mea tika te katoa e te whānau, ki a kaha, ki a mai, ki a manu niu, ki a kai i roto i te ariki, e nōre kurore ki te ātua mangorongo ki te whenua whakaoro pai ki ngā tangata katoa, whakaonera tia te kia ki tūhei te potatau te whirowhiro, te tua whetu, pai mare ki aia, pai mare ki a rātou, pai mare ki a koutua katoa. Ki a hora te marino, ki a whakapapa pau nā mū te moana, ki a tere ki ka rohi roho i mua o te huarahi, kei wāngu e tātara. May the Lord bless you and keep you as you sail your walkers back home after lunch, and may it be a safe journey, and may the seas glisten like the Pounamu when the sun hits it, and may you shine like God wants us to be. Glory to the heavens, glory on earth, glory to our King. Tēnei te mea tika koutou. Kia ora.